Great to gather together with you this morning here at Calvary Chapel. We do welcome each of you. And as Tim was announcing and Kathy's pointing out, much going on around here, so we encourage you, jump on board, especially now we're moving to the holidays. Great time just to come and just fellowship together and see what God would have for all of us. So welcome, welcome to each. Well, we travel through the Bible around here. We've been traveling with the children of Israel for a while now. Let's jump on board with them. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 35. Now, to help you study, the ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand. They count it a privilege to pass the Bible over to you. And if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. And for all of us, let's go to Numbers, the fourth book of our Bible, chapters 35. Numbers 35. You know, just by way of announcement also, you go through the doors that God opens. And among the many doors he's opening around here, he has set before us, again, this opportunity to go out to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot. That'll be this Tuesday. Now, I really want to encourage you, if you have some time available Tuesday, to come along and be a part of this outreach over there to the drill instructors and their staff and all. Again, who can say why God is doing this, but he has set this before us. And we went last month, and Steve, the chaplain out there, had invited us, and he told me, well, you can expect about 50 or 70 of these drill instructors and all. And there was, I don't know, a good 90 or more out there, I think. Well, this time he says he expects about 120. And so we're just seeing this as an opportunity to minister to God's love to a group of men who may not always be exposed to that kind of environment. And so if you're at all available, give Rudy a call or check him after the service. Find him over here in the center. But we would love to have you come help. We're going to try to put on a kind of a Thanksgiving-type meal. And we could use your help, but at least be in prayer. Be in prayer that God would use that. Well, Numbers 35, as I mentioned, we are continuing our journeys with the children of Israel. If you've been with us, you'll remember that they are right there opposite the land of Canaan now. They're just east of the Jordan River on the plains of Moab. And very shortly now, they'll be launching out across the river into the promised land to receive what God has prepared for them there. So there they are, they're right on the verge of entering the promised land. But in doing that, the Lord has done a census. He's counted all the people, and he's been going through letting them know, when you get in the land, here's how you're going to divide up the land and all. He's been going over that with them. But as he does that, he begins to talk now for a moment about some cities. There's some cities he wants set apart for some particular purpose. And it's going to be a real neat application for us this morning. So Numbers chapter 35, go to verse 9. We'll jump in at verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall give six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." As we begin our time together this morning, let me ask you a couple of questions. They're rhetorical, not to be answered out loud, but just for you to kind of think about how it might apply in our lives and all. Have you ever wished you had someplace to go for refuge? I don't think it's a newsflash to say that most of us have faced times and circumstances in this life that have caused us to wish there was some place we could go for comfort or safety, a place where we could just relax, a place where we could know that everything is going to be okay. Perhaps in your past you thought you had found such a place, but in the end it failed you. Perhaps there was a person, and they were your refuge of sorts, but they let you down. Perhaps it was a marital partner. Perhaps it was a close friend. Perhaps for you, your family was where you put your refuge. Or maybe it's something material, your money or something like that. Your finances were your refuge. But now you sit here this morning and you found out the insufficiency of that refuge. You found out that it was indeed sinking sand. They hurt you, bailed on you, failed you. Whatever that refuge was, you found it didn't hack it. We do indeed find many things that come along. And be they in the area of physical or mental, emotional or spiritual, that we find we need. We cry out for a refuge. But a place that would be solid and would be safe and we could find what we're really seeking. God, of course, knows the children of Israel very well. And as the children of Israel prepare to enter the promised land, he knows what they're going to encounter. And he knows the things that are going to happen. He knows circumstances that happen in life, of course. And so the Lord gives these instructions that we've looked at this morning. He tells them to establish six cities that would be known as cities of refuge. A place where those who are in need can run for refuge. Again, not to be answered out loud, but what do you think of when you think of a refuge? There's something you define. If I could go around and ask each of you, when you think of refuge, what does it mean to you? You would probably say, well, I think of this, that, or the other. But it's something it means to you. Well, whatever the word refuge means to you, by the time we're through, I pray that we'll all see that Jesus is all of that that you're thinking and so much more. I called our time together this morning the only real refuge. Let's pray. Father, because of your great love, you gave the children of Israel these places they could flee and find refuge. And in that same way, Lord, you set before us your refuge. That place where we might flee for whatever reason, whatever we're going through, whatever's driving us, Lord, you set before us this awesome calling, an opportunity, this place of refuge. Lord, help us to not try to deny our need. Help us to not reason and debate, but Lord, may you find in us a people who flee. Flee to the only real refuge there is. And so, Lord, you have us here by design. Now, Lord, bring it all together, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the basic idea of these cities of refuge were this. If a person in this day, in this time, if a person killed someone accidentally, he or she could flee to one of these six cities, and they were called the cities of refuge. You see, in this culture at this time, if a person was killed, then a relative or someone else that they designate could avenge the death of the one killed. They were supposed to seek out and take vengeance on the one who had killed the other person, the relative. Now, if this death occurred by accident, the person who had done the killing, they could flee to one of these cities. God set these cities in place that they could flee. And once that person is there, the avenger, the one who's going to go and avenge for this loss, this death, they could not enter the city to get that person. Instead, there would be a trial in the city. And in the trial, we determined if indeed it had been an accident, if this death was by accidental means. If it is determined that that is the case, then the person was safe in the city of refuge. However, they had to remain in the city until the death of the high priest. Only then could they return home. So that's the basic idea. It's straightforward. City of refuge, that if a death occurs accidentally, the one by whose hand it occurred could flee and find refuge. And indeed, if his case was heard and agreed with, he could stay there and be safe from the avenger. That's what's set before us. Let's get to the application, for there's much to be applied here for all of us. First of all, there are some important similarities here between these cities of refuge and Jesus. So I want us to consider them this morning and then to let God apply them where needed. Let's see what these similarities might be. And truly, in all this, may God speak to us about what or who we've been looking to for our refuge. What similarity between the cities of refuge and Jesus is this? The cities of refuge were open to all. You remember up in verse 15, it said, these six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them. Anyone could flee to a city of refuge. This was not just for a certain class of people or any certain group. You didn't have to qualify financially or something like that. If you needed to flee there, if you needed a place of refuge, the gates were open to you. No other qualification needed. Well, so it is with Jesus, of course. He is no respecter of persons. We can flee to him. And he's not seeking us, well, how much money do you have? How educated are you? How cute are you? Thank goodness for that one. None of those. It's not just for certain people, your nationality. No, open to all. All can flee. He's no respecter of persons. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So the first similarity between these cities and Jesus is open to everyone to come to. Secondly, the cities of refuge were designed, they were put in the places so they would be near at hand. Meaning, wherever you were in the land, if all of a sudden you found yourself in need of a city of refuge, they were situated where you could get to them quickly. There was always a city of refuge within reach to those in need. And the cities were named. They were known for being cities of refuge. They were kept a secret, but they were declared. They were known. This is where you find refuge. The way there was well known. They were told to make the streets and the pathways there open and make sure that nothing would obstruct somebody from getting there. And getting there quickly. So where they were was known. The way there was known. They were to be clearly marked so people could find it. It was up to the person in need to avail themselves of it. But there would be no doubt as to its availability for them. And such is the case with us and Jesus. If someone fails to avail themselves of the refuge that Jesus is for us, it's not for want of one. He is there, and he is declared. Thirdly, these cities of refuge, were like Jesus in that they were the only real place of safety within the land. The person who needed refuge would have been stupid to flee to some city that wasn't a city of refuge. There would be no hope for him in any other city. They would be silly to go to some city that wasn't a city of refuge when there was real refuge available. But don't we see that today? Today, many, think how many flee to things and people that are not really a refuge at all. Those people, those things, those circumstances that people look to, those things are going to fail in the end. They are indeed sinking sand, but people flee to them thinking they're going to find the comfort, the hope, the answers in them. Put yourself back in that time for just a moment. What would you say if you were living in that time and you met a man who had just killed someone accidentally? But there he was, just kind of hanging around. And so you probably would say to him, "Hey man, run to the city of refuge and be safe." Now, what would you do if that person said, "Nah, I think I'll just wait right here. If it's meant for me to die, then there's nothing I can do about that. And if it's meant for me to live, then I don't need to go to any certain place for deliverance. I'll just wait here and see how it goes." Well, hopefully you'd say, "Hey, yeah, there's a city of refuge, but you have your part. You have to go there. You have to respond to its being available. You have to avail yourself of the refuge. It will do you no good just to know about it. You've got to go to it." You would encourage him to do that. And that's, of course, so often the case today for so many people spiritually. Well, what do they say? Well, I'll take my chances. We'll just see what's going to happen, and, you know, when I get to heaven, I'll see, or when I wrap up this life. Well, I'll just see what happens then. If I'm meant to be saved, then I'll be saved. If I'm not, then I'm not. You would say, He wants you to be, but you got to avail yourself of the refuge. You must cry out and seek Him as just that. You'd say there's a refuge for you, but you must flee to Him. Or what if you said to that same person, well, you better flee the city of refuge and get this worked out. And they said, well, no, I've come up with another plan. I'm just going to work it off. Yeah, I know this happened and his relative will be after me, but you know what? I think I'm just going to do a bunch of good works, and I'm sure that'll make the difference. Well, hopefully you'd say to the person, the Avenger doesn't care if you're the nicest guy in town. He's going to extract upon you payment. He's going to come to get even. It's not about whether you're a nice guy or not. You would tell him, there's only one place of safety. Flee. Flee to the city of refuge. And so it is spiritually, of course. We must receive Jesus personally. And you can't say, well, I'll just get there, my good will outweigh the bad, or I'm basically a good person or something. It has nothing to do with that. You must come to receive of Him in the way that He's designed. And He wants us to, but we have our part. Flee to Him who is your only refuge. And lastly, the manslayer, once he got inside the city, he was safe. He was safe in one of those cities. In Christ, believers that flee to Jesus and they rest in Him, that they walk in Him, they are protected. They are protected from the wrath of God and the curse of the law. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So once in, and you stay in, and you're walking in the Spirit, safe at home there. So, those are examples of how the city of refuge are an example of Jesus. Those are the similarities, and there are similarities in all of that. But there's also some very striking differences that I think we should consider. And I pray that as we do, those differences will encourage us this morning, because they are a blessing. And I pray that we would understand the superiority of Jesus over any other so-called refuge that the world would try to put before us. There is indeed only one real refuge. Let's consider a couple of the differences and why they're a blessing to us. The city of refuge was for the one who was innocent of murder. If you actually murdered, they did you no good. But if you had committed this innocently, you could flee there and your case would be heard. And if they'd judge that indeed it was an accident, then you had a safety there. So this is for the one who is innocent of murder. But again, if you're guilty of murder, the cities of refuge did you no good. The guilty ones had no refuge. Problem. We are the guilty ones. That's us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are guilty before God. All. Where does the guilty man go? Who would have taken in a guilty man? Nowhere to go but face the music. Thank God, Jesus is far superior, for Jesus is the refuge for the guilty. Jesus is the refuge for sinners. Which means He's the refuge for you and me this morning. Secondly, the man in the city of refuge, he still awaited judgment. He fled there to find both mercy, but he also was to find justice there. His reprieve was only a temporary one. If you look down at verse 24 here of Numbers 35, this whole section talks about how to go about determining the innocence or the guilt of this person. if this was indeed something that happened by accident. But in verse 24, it says, "Then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments." So there would be a judgment, even though he'd fled to the city of refuge. How opposite this is from the condition, the state of the one who runs to Jesus. The person in Jesus awaits no further judgment. We're not saved, but it's like, okay, but up ahead he's going to decide if I really get to stay or I'm going to hell. No, it's already been decided. Why? Because the judgment was placed upon him for us. We were guilty, but that payment was extracted upon Jesus on the cross. You can get excited anywhere you want in there. So we're free from judgment. We never have to again. If you've come to Christ, if you receive Christ as Savior, it's done now. There isn't some future trial up ahead for us to determine if indeed we're saved or not. Because again, our judgment, although it has been determined, it has been placed on Jesus. The awesome thing is this: our refuge is also our Redeemer. The one who is our refuge is also our Redeemer. But there is one more thing that both the cities of refuge and Jesus have in common. These circumstances all have in common. And that is the person who flees to the city of refuge, he was in imminent danger. He had to do something. He better do it quick. He was in imminent danger. So are we. Even more so. What do I mean? See, the avenger may find this person. Our enemy will find us if we don't flee to Jesus. You see, we're already dead in our trespasses and sins. It's just how it is. Spiritual death already has us in its grips. And if we don't flee to the one who gives life, if we don't flee to the one who gives eternal life, forgiveness of sins, then we are doomed. He wants us to flee to him. That's why it's in place. This whole means he's set up. But we have our part. We must flee. We must by faith receive. Cry out for him to apply what he did on the cross to our lives. Hell does await all who do not flee to Jesus. Now I understand I just used a word that's not popular today. Don't talk about hell. What are you doing? Well, Jesus talked a lot about hell because he came to save us from hell. How? He said, flee to me. Run to me. Come to me. He didn't come to keep us away. He's coming to get us in. He came to save us. So all must flee to the only real refuge there is. Not to a city. Not to a religion. Not to a church. Not to being good. Not to giving money, not to living right. None of those places are the refuge of God. It is found only in Jesus. He is our only real refuge. If you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior, he's calling you. See, the question becomes, do you need a refuge from sin? Well, he clearly declares that we do. But he also declares there is such a place. There's a place of refuge. And so I want to first of all tell you that just a few moments now, we're going to give you an opportunity to run to the refuge of Jesus and to be saved, to be forgiven, to find the hope, to find what your heart is really seeking and hungering for. And he's right here. And he's here right now. Not out there, but he's here right now. And his arms are open. And he's crying out for you to flee to him and be saved. But for those who receive Christ as Savior, He is our refuge in terms of salvation. But believer, He is that and so much more for the believer. Matter of fact, I'd like to point out a few ways that go beyond just as Savior, how He's a refuge for us. And so I'm going to throw it out to you now. Now, I know I can be confusing sometimes because I'll say, I'm giving you a question, don't answer it. And I'll give you another question, you're going, well, does He want us to answer that one or not? This one I do want you to answer. However, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so that we don't all speak at once. And true, you don't have to say anything, but I'd like to set before you this and maybe get a few of you to respond. I want to ask you, how have you found Jesus to be a Savior, a refuge for you? You found Him as Savior. How is Jesus a refuge for you? Now, I'm going to ask you to give your reply in a sort of a synonym type of thing, a one or two word answer because of time and all. But I'm going to ask, is anybody bold enough to raise their hand and I'll call upon you? Just tell me, how have you found Jesus to be a refuge for you? What kind of a refuge is He to you? Would anybody care to go for that? Go for it.
Comfort and hope.
The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, sent to give us comfort. Because in Jesus we find to be our comfort, our hope. Let's take both of those separate. Think about that a moment. Think how often we've needed someone and cried out for the Lord to comfort us. And He just does. And He gives a true and living hope. We've wondered, is there any hope? Where am I headed? What am I up to? What's going to happen here? But He supernaturally imparts His hope, that living hope to us. Now, in saying this, I know that sometimes if you're listening to this and you haven't called upon Him to be your refuge yet, you might hear some of these and think, I don't get it. I don't know exactly how He does. I just know He does. The Holy Spirit comforts. Now, true, He uses His word, so many things, but He just does. He comforts us in the midst of that thing, and He gives me a hope when I don't see any reason for hope around me. Because He really is there, and He supernaturally is that refuge, and He does that. What's another word? I think I saw a couple other hands. Tony? I'm sorry, what?
Rest.
He's our rest. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He just does. And we're not called to bear all this life can throw upon us. He was never designed for us to try to carry the load. And so in Him, He's our refuge of rest when we're just plain needing strength and we're drained. Any other words you might capture and think of? Go for it. Nice and loud because you're... Peace. My peace, He says, I give to you. Not like the world gives, give I unto you. Peace is almost a foreign commodity. And sometimes too much so even in the body of Christ. But He gives a real peace as we sit at His feet, as we get into the Word, as He gives us His take on things, whatever He might do it. All of a sudden, there's that peace that passes understanding. He just does, as we cast our cares upon Him. And so while the storm is knocking us left and right, all of a sudden we find a shelter in that storm. We find a peace there because He's holding us in it. And as the waves buffet us, the waves of circumstances, He holds us in His hand. Any other input about this? Any other words you think of, Grinda?
He said that He talks to and fro, the anchor of my soul.
Anchor. We're going to go to that verse in just a minute, by the way. But that's true. He's an anchor. He steadies us. So many hands, and I guess we'll just kind of, you get the idea. But how often has He been the glue that's kept me together when everything else will pull me apart? But I run to Him, He's my refuge, and kept me from coming apart. And I know He's done that. Has He done that for anybody else? He's ever been your glue? Your comfort, your strength. Yeah, okay. Now, if you're sitting there saying, I don't get all this, He wants you to. Because even believers, I think, I know they do, they lose sight of Him as a refuge. And they, what can I do to answer this? And what resources do I have? And what can I do? And He's saying, wait a minute. I'm so much more than just salvation. I want to be all this for you. Flee to Me. Run to Me. Let these circumstances drive you to Me, He would say. So, think about our refuge for a moment. I do want to read that verse. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says this. And this has to do with the surety of our refuge. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. A lot there, but just talking about the idea of how sure our refuge is. For who? For those who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And this hope we have as an anchor of our soul. Jesus, the refuge of sinners. If you've never received Christ as Savior, you need to do it. But more, add to that, Jesus, the refuge for mourners. When we have a loss, we ache so bad when that person's not there anymore. But how he holds us close. And he's not down on us because we cry, but he comforts us. He is indeed the refuge of mourners. Jesus, the refuge of those who can't see any hope. As they look around, they see no hope. I can't see how this is going to work out in any way good. But then he draws our gaze upwards. He draws our gaze upon him, and all of a sudden there's that hope. Jesus, the refuge of those who need peace, as was pointed out. The refuge of those who need wisdom. He gives liberally to those who seek him with pure and straightforward motivations. Jesus, the refuge of those who are tired and weak, as was pointed out. Jesus, basically, what are we saying? He's the refuge for you and me. Our part, flee, run to. And how do you do that? You flee to him by trusting him, by laying hold of his promises, by having faith in him, spending time with him in prayer, looking to his word, being open to the Holy Spirit ministering to you, and you begin to find him to be, as he said, he's that refuge for that need in your life. At this time, I'm going to invite the worship team up. But as the team comes up, I want to encourage you, this is the time that too often we say, oh boy, pastor's done, there's a football game in my future, a good lunch, maybe a nap, hope he wraps it up real quick. Would you just hang in there just a moment? Because there's some application here that God, I believe, would have us to do in all of this. What are you looking to for a refuge? We're back to not answering out loud, but answering before God in your heart. Make some application right now about all this. Has the Lord been speaking to you about what you're looking to for a refuge? Truth be told, are you looking to somebody or something? Or there's so many things that might be in there. Subtle, maybe even some, but still in the place that God wants to be, because he knows that anything else is sinking sand. What or who are you looking to for refuge this morning? I'm wondering if you need to declare to run to Jesus this morning as your refuge. In that storm, in that circumstance. Again, you may be someone who's led a perfect life with no problem, but most of us have failed. And we know storms, and we've been buffeted by them. And you can sit here with so much tugging on you and pulling on us and all. Have you lost sight of the refuge? In a particular area in your life, have you lost sight of a refuge? Do you need to flee to him in that area, meaning give it to him? Trust him for it? This morning, you have an opportunity to do just that. So this applies to all of us. This morning, the question is, do you know him as your refuge? Let's pray. Father, in your love for the children of Israel, you gave them the cities of refuge. And in your love for each one of us, you sent your son to die for our sins. And so you now declare plainly there is a refuge for sinners. It's a place to come and find forgiveness of sins, eternal life, purpose for life. Father, speak now, I pray. Draw to you anyone who doesn't know you. Lord, we look to you to work. This is your time, but we do pause to let you have your way. We ask this in Jesus' name. As Tim shares a song with us, if you've never received Christ as Savior, run to him. This morning, that's going to mean doing this, getting up, coming down front here. Let me just lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior. So this is for those who've never been saved before, but you know you need to. Come down front. We want to lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you're still considering but have not received, then make sure by the time we wrap it up, you make your way to the prayer room If you have questions about this whole thing, go find out from the prayer partners. But now to you, believer, you know Christ as Savior. You have fled to Him already as a refuge for salvation. But maybe as you sit here this morning, you recognize in some area you haven't been fleeing to Him. That He wants to be a refuge to you right now in that area. He wants to comfort you, encourage you, give you that peace that passes understanding. He wants to give you that hope once again. He wants to give you a renewed sense of purpose or whatever it might be. As you sit here, you're a believer, it's settled, but you recognize you haven't been running to Him like you'd have you to. There's an area He wants to be a refuge, like maybe you haven't been. And so here's the invitation. Tim's going to continue to share this song with us. Believer, run to Him. Run to Jesus with that area right now. And it can be in the physical area, an ailment, something going on. It's got you concerned. It's in the emotional area, the mental area. There could be fears, anxieties, so many things that have you flee to Him for refuge where you've been anxious, where there's been depression, whatever there might be. He's not down on you for those, but He wants to be your refuge in those things. You need wisdom, whatever it might be. And you see you've been looking to something that's gonna fail you. But looking to somebody, something, and He's saying, I want to be in that slot. You're a believer, but this morning you need to declare, Lord, be my refuge in this area. I flee to You. I run to You in this area. If you need to do that, then during the song, don't have to come up front. Just stand where you are. No one's going to know what it is. You're just declaring, Lord, I need You to be. I receive by faith You as my refuge in this area. Again, it's a struggle you're going through. Something maybe lost sight of Him in. Whatever it might be. But this morning you want to get back to letting Him be the full refuge He wants to be for you. So as we go through this song again, stand right there and then remain standing because I want to just say a word of prayer for you. If you need refuge in any area, stand right now. No one can run to the city of refuge for another person. They had to do it themselves. And I can't run to Jesus as a refuge for you any more than you can for me. But my privilege is to pray with you. As you've stood to declare that whatever this means to you individually, whatever the area it is, whatever it is you're saying, Lord, be my refuge here. He hears, He knows. But it's my privilege just to lift you up to Him in that area. And there's an awesome thing. In a sense, we don't have to say, Lord, be a refuge, because He already is. We're just saying, Lord, I choose to run to You. I choose to avail of that refuge You're offering. I choose to let You be. I'm going to receive You as a refuge in this area of my life. He already is that, like the cities already were refuge. We just run to Him. And you stood up. And so now by faith, do just that. Trust Him where maybe there hasn't been trust. Just get His view on things where lately you've been looking around instead of looking up. Whatever it might be. And I encourage you this afternoon, take some time and personally avail yourself of Him as your refuge. And then as you go out in your day, every day, let Him be your full refuge in every way, all that He offers to us. But it's my privilege to pray. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, You knew what we're going to be looking at this morning, what we'd be considering from Your Word, from Your heart. And You knew we'd be here, Lord, for everyone is here by a divine appointment. We know that. And Lord, now You've brought it all together. And so these stand before You declaring, Lord, that whatever it might mean specifically, they're saying that You are indeed their refuge in that area. Perhaps looking to You in a new way. Just leaning on You. They're just putting their hand in Yours. They're putting their head on Your shoulder, so to speak. They're crawling up in Your lap and saying, Lord, You're my refuge. Lord, for some, maybe they're just confessing they'd lost sight of it. Some, maybe it's kind of just a fresh reminder. Maybe a first-time thing. I don't know, Lord, but You do. And they've stood up to declare. So, Lord, thank You, because I know You're faithful. And You are that refuge. And You're solid rock, not sinking sand. So just help all to now, by faith, just trust in You as the refuge in the midst of whatever is going on, whatever has led them to stand. But I thank You for that work in every life. And so we give You praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,